we're excited about it. We've had kind of on a rebound year, continuing to try to get back to where our program, we feel like it belongs. And we've made some good strides, had some nice little runs during the season. We played really good basketball. Got to continue to improve in a lot of different areas. And those areas, you know, are areas that any team needs to improve in, whether it's rebounding, defending, or taking care of the basketball. Those are things we've got to work on to get better at.
Now, Coach, you've been with Western State 21 years. What do you think has been your greatest accomplishment in your 21 years of being at one place, Northwestern State?
Well, you know, one of the things we're really proud of is the fact that we've graduated almost 90% of our players since I've been here. And we're trying to get education, but we have been to the NCAA tournament three times, winning two ball games, one first playing game that was ever played. I guess Winthrop, when Greg Marshall played there, and then coached there, actually. And then beating Iowa in the first round in 2006. Getting back in 2013 against Florida, played a great game, but the wheels kind of came off in the second half. But, you know, just that fact of graduating young men and putting themselves in a position to where we have a chance to be successful on the court and in the classroom and out in society.
Now, Coach, in the business of college coaching, where longevity is very, very rare, to be one place 21 years means you have to have a great president, a great AD who believes in you and your vision for the program. Talk about how key the alignment is of administration and the basketball coaches and the players, so you can be somewhere like Northwestern State for 21 years without any interruption or severing ties.
Well, I think one of the things that makes it a little bit different, one, I'm from Louisiana. My father and his two brothers played here at Northwestern State. I didn't play here. I played at Louisiana Tech along with my other two brothers who played at Louisiana Tech. Is also, my two sons ended up playing here. So once we came here, this kind of became our home because my dad played here, and it's one of those things that you talk about a lot of times, but you don't think about that when I got here, I had a 40-year head start on anybody else because my dad and his brothers had already been here at this institution. Therefore, there was a lot of people they went to school with that were in the community or whatever, and so it just helped me to get off the ground running. And then we experienced some success, and we were able to get guys to buy into what we're doing, and we've just been able to stay. I think one of the biggest things that happens in today's market is everybody is moving. You know, being from Louisiana, had always coached in Louisiana, played my college career in Louisiana, it wasn't a situation that I was trying to go somewhere else because I had a base here. And I had seen coaches in Louisiana that had great bases. Their base was pretty good at Louisiana, and then they went off to other states and they tried to start over. And they, because they didn't have a base of recruiting, a base of support, it was very difficult for them to carry what they'd done in Louisiana to other states. So that's kind of just a situation where I felt strongly about that, being here and being a part of it, and thankful at my administration, Mr. Greg Burks, my AD, and he hired me, and he's allowed us to do some things that, you know, here and work hard to try to stabilize our program and have a good program.
And, Coach, I know at your level, player development is real key at the lower D1 level. So talk about how player development on and off the court with these young men for strength and conditioning, eating right, sleeping right, and also on-court work with the coaches to get better daily because you guys have to project young men. You're not getting the five-star, four-star guys. You're getting three-star guys. You want to develop them into a four-star guy. So let's talk a little bit about that dynamic when you're recruiting at the level you are in D1.
Well, I just think that, you know, one, you got to have players that are hungrier than the other guys, and understanding what you said is true. You're trying to take a player and project them out to determine what they're going to be in their second, their third, and their fourth years. And sometimes, you know, even have a redshirt year to put yourself in position to where they grow and they develop into what you're trying to develop them as players. But, you know, right now, one just walked back in the gym, you know, and I told him early in the week, you got to get in and get you 100 extra makes a day because nobody else is in there getting it. We need you to be able to score the basketball and do the little things to be successful. So, you know, that is so vitally important for them to understand that they got to do all the little things to try to improve and get better.
You got that right, Coach. You know, I feel like, you know, you get better every day. You know, some guys, I'll give it a summertime. No, you have to work at your game daily, constantly perfect your craft, because, like you said, if you get better incrementally each day, it's going to really pay off this time of year where you're in a tight race in the Southland Conference, and you guys trying to get some seating for the tournament. So you need guys to want to be committed right now, because this is the key time where it's really truly is win or go home here in the next few weeks here.
That's exactly right. And, you know, everybody plays for March. And, you know, I always talk about you want to be playing your best basketball in March, because that when it matters. And especially at our level where we're at, you got to go win the conference tournament. Doesn't matter. You know, you can have a great run and you not win the tournament, and you're not getting into the NCAA tournament this level. So, you know, everybody has a chance. They just got to go put it all together and try to be successful in March.
Now, Coach, you kind of touched on briefly how you have your base in Louisiana for recruiting. Let's talk about that. You know, so many top-notch schools, D1 schools in Louisiana, according to yourself, a lot of them in South Carolina, in your conference as well, in Louisiana, compete for the same guys. So how do you go about distinguishing Northwestern State from other schools in Louisiana, and also in your conference, to say, hey, come play for us. We have a great program for you. We'll get you a good education and treat you like a young man's ought to be treated, and love on you and help you in your career, whether it be basketball or something else after basketball's over with.
Well, I think relationships with players and high school coaches and AAU coaches is very, very important, because you've got to have the relationship with those individuals to allow yourself to get in the door to recruit young men that are possibly potential recruits. We've kind of been in a little bit of a lull, because we've had a several tough years in the last couple of years. But, you know, this past year, we kind of went outside of our borders a little bit and got a pair of twins from Greece, 6'10" and 6'8". And then we also recruited a young man named Nikos and Robert Ugos, and then we recruited to get a guy named Jovan Zelenbaba, whose daddy actually played for me 30 years ago at a junior college.
Wow.
And so that goes back to the relationships that I'm talking about. We were able to get him in here and get him ready to play. And Jovan's had some good games. Nikos had some good games. Robert's a guy that, you know, will be a really good player before he leaves here, but he's not quite where he needs to be. But I do think the relationship part of it with local coaches, and then expanding your borders, sometimes you have to do that, because you got to do that. I know when I first came here, we had to go to Texas and get some kids, and then we were able to get to the NCAA tournament, and then we were able to get most Louisiana kids that we recruited. Most of the time, we don't bring people to campus and not sign them. Most of the time, when we bring them to campus, we know we're locked in and we have the opportunity to sign them. So it's we're fortunate in that you know, we've got a good base to recruit from. Got good assistant coaches, Jeff Moore and Dave Simmons, was head coach. Jeff Moore's a longtime assistant for 15 years. Coach Simmons was with me for 7 years before he went to McNeese to be the head coach, and now he's been back with me 2 years, along with Jake Spielbauer and Moore Scott. So we've got a really good staff, and we really are comfortable, feel like players are comfortable with them. And we're continuing to grow and continue to get better as a program and as a team.
And, Coach, how did you keep your team motivated after a tough non-conference season? Because, you know, only winning 3 games could have broke some kids' spirit, but you guys are bouncing back right now, 9-8 in Southland Conference play. So how did you guys kind of get them to not take it so personally, the record, and just to realize that, hey, we're playing to be better for our conference? If you don't have to play guaranteed games, go on the road, can't get really home games, all those layers involved with non-con scheduling. But how did you keep those guys motivated to play well as they have so far in the conference play so far?
Well, that's a great question, but it's also, very insightful of you to understand when you're going and getting a check to take care of the other programs in the school. You know, it does get pretty tough. The way that I approach it is that we talk about we're playing in a lot of different venues to give you the opportunity to play at the level that you really thought you should be playing at. So you go do the best you possibly can, and you get better through these games to get prepared for the conference, to get to the conference tournament, to try to get to the NCAA tournament to win games. So everything we do in November and December is going to have an impact on us in January, February, and March. And so the struggle with it is, and the key is not to lose your team before you get to conference play. The league went to something that I'm, you know, being real honest, I don't like 20-game schedules. But we got 20 games, so it lessened the number of guarantee games that we played this year. We only played 4. But, you know, it is a situation that we're going to continue to work to play good people to allow them to get themselves in a position to see exactly where they stand.
Yes, indeed. You know, and yeah, big game tomorrow, Coach. I think it's Louisiana. David Kiefer first year after Jay Ladner left and went to Southern Miss there. We're sitting on films year ready for Coach Kiefer and his team, who's been strapping around, playing hard this year, but not quite the record that they want to have so far.
Well, they're very talented. To me, they're probably – they beat us in an overtime game here early on in the season, and they're really, really talented. And they had a couple guys out at that point. They've got them back. You know, it's going to be a tough matchup. It'll be Von Julian's last game as a Southeastern line, a very, very, very good player, one that I have a lot of respect for. I recruited him, tried to get him here, lost him to Tulane. Ends up Southeastern, started 60-plus games for him, or 60 games for him the last couple of years. He redshirted that 1 year. Really, really a good player, and they'll be a handful tomorrow.
That's what I got for you, Coach. This, I know you mentioned your dad coached there as well. Your grandfather went to school there as well. So outside of those, who have been some people who really impacted your career in coaching, who's really helped you become the coach you are today?
Well, I was fortunate enough to play for some guys in college that were really good. Of course, my high school coach, J.C. Howell, is really a good coach. My junior high school coach still comes to every one of our games. He drives down here and watches play on Saturday. Jerry Mosley, you know, comes and there. But, I would say Scotty Robertson and Emmett Hendricks, who were my two college coaches. Scotty Robertson had a 24-year NBA career as three-team head coach. And it was the NBA. His last stint was with the Phoenix Suns for about 10 years. He and Coach Charles Barkley there, and he and Charles Barkley were extremely close. But Scotty was a great, great coach and a guy that got the most out of his players. And then Emmett Hendricks was really a player's coach, in my opinion, that he allowed players to be able to do the things that they could do. And I think that had a pretty big impact on me. And actually, when I came back down here to when I came to Northwestern, Emmett Hendricks lived here and owned a restaurant, so I got to get re-coached by him. And then I also had Coach Robertson come and be on my staff for about a six-month period after he left the Miami Heat, and working with Pat Riley in his last 4 years in the NBA, came down and spent some time with me here. And I thought that was really, really insightful to me to learn from somebody that had been 24 years in the NBA. But I'll tell you something that was really interesting. When he was in college, all they talked about was offense. It was defense. Defense, defense. When he came back from the pros, all he wanted to was talk about offense.
Wow.
You know, so it's kind of amazing how his philosophy changed in that period of spending all that time there.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach McConnell, thank you for your time today. It's been great to have you on the show. Hope to do it again with you down the road. Well, best of luck to you tomorrow against Southeastern.
Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you so much, Coach.
Grab a hold of Big Breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese, all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show with Montana Grizz head coach Travis DeCure with us on the Boss Man Show. Coach, what's up with you guys out there in Montana, man?
Not a whole lot, just trying to keep it going in a positive direction, enjoying some wins. And last week of conference, hopefully we can finish off with a bang.
Coach, you're 14-4. Tower Eastern Washington has been doing a great job as well. But you got a big game Thursday against Jeff Linder's bunch, Northern Colorado, coming to the Dahlberg Arena. Talk to us about that matchup you got coming up this week with Jeff Linder's team coming into your place, man.
We've had some good matchups with those guys. They've been lingering around the top of the standings the last couple of years, and hopefully, they're hoping to crack into the championship at some point in time. And we got them at home and trying to hold them off.
You got that right, now, Coach. I've been keeping an eye on your program, man. Man, Coach, you guys have won so many games in Big Sky play over the last 2 years, man. 52 record wins you've won over the last 2 years. This year you're playing three freshmen in your rotation after losing four stars from last year's team. Talk about how to integrate those young men into your program right off the bat here and contributing big wins for you guys as you guys are in this big hunt for this championship this week against Southern Utah as well and Northern Colorado on Thursday there.
Well, every year provides you with new challenges, and youth has been our challenge this year. And we thought that we recruited an incredible class out of Southern California, and those guys are proving us right. They've gotten off to a good start. You know, with freshmen, you're going to have some good days, some bad days, but they all come from programs that have won or at least expected to win. And I think that that's been healthy as we've added them to our program because it's been a very similar situation.
And, Coach, can I talk about that piece? Because I feel like the player development program you guys have out there really helped those young men, because I feel like when a freshman comes in, he has to kind of adjust to the coaching style, being at the new level of D1 level, playing ball against bigger, stronger guys from the AAU ranks or whatever, what have you. So talk about what you guys do with those young men on court and integrate them into your system and to your culture here so fast.
Well, these guys, like I said, you know, I think they were very well coached in high school. They come from programs rather than just teams where, you know, the concepts that they're taught last for 4 years, very similar to our situation. And so the biggest thing for us with freshmen is just developing the mind, the physical development over a period of time, just teaching them our style of play, our approach to the game, our approach to the day really has been the biggest thing for freshmen coming in. And these guys have taken on very well in terms of just understanding, you know, how important it is to watch film, how important it is to understand scout personnel and tendencies, and then going out and executing as one group. And we've been fortunate and blessed to have a young group that we could add to the veterans that we returned.
And having Saeed Pridgett out there, man, player of the year candidate for you guys, man, dominating stats over the Big Sky. Talk about how this young man's meant to your program and meant to your team this year, helping those young men grow it, as we kind of discussed here.
Well, one of the best players I've ever coached, you know, and I think the healthy thing for us with Saeed is he is a four-year guy. And, you know, he was a role player as a freshman, sophomore, good enough to start, but took on a six-man role for the good of the team and committed to winning. And each year he's kind of added something to his toolbox and has now become probably the best player in conference. And now it's his turn to lead this team to a championship, and hopefully we can get it done for him.
You got two other seniors, man. Kendall Manuel out there, and also Jared Samson, who came back to you guys after an NAIA run there for a while. Talk about how those two young men have been to your program as well, Coach.
Well, it's been huge. You know, Jared Samson started his career here with us and transferred down to NAIA for a few years to get closer to home, closer to his family. And as a fifth-year senior, graduated and wanted to return and kind of finish where he started. And it's been a healthy addition for us as we graduated those four seniors. We needed a low post threat, and he's given us that. And then Kendall Manuel, a local kid, Billings, you know, 5 hours away from Houston State, transferred from Oregon State, was a healthy addition to our team last year as a shooter, and this year one of our better scorers. That also is, you know, his commitment to winning and quest for championships has been huge and healthy for this program, and hopefully he can get a second one.
And, Coach, how does it make you feel, Coach? You know, you're in your sixth year at Montana, and you can pretty much get 20 wins, 5 of your first 6 years there, you know, if you win these two games this weekend. So how does it make you feel knowing that this culture you've set at Montana and how the Grizz are now a prominent name around the country and the job you've been doing out there is noticed to be noticed nationally, not just out in the Big Sky, not West, but nationally, they know the good job you've done for this program?
Well, it's been a special experience for all of us. You know, I'm fortunate. I've got a good staff, a good young, energetic staff that relates to the players and does a phenomenal job of recruiting. And, you know, you got to surround yourself with good coaches and good talent, which we have. Big shoes to fill when I came. Obviously, you know, two Hall of Fame coaches here before me and a couple others that became all-time winning as coaches over a period of time. So a lot of championships were won before I became the head coach. And, you know, for us, we just try to grow and do something a little different, and I think our style of play has been intriguing to the fans. And you know, we've been fortunate to just, you know, continue to do that. And our schedule's been tough. We play quite a few guaranteed games, a lot of road games, and so the 20 wins aren't just given. And you're going to have to win a lot of games in conference to do so when you play the schedule we do, and we've been fortunate.
Okay, y'all, let me check my name as well, Coach. This, I feel like your team recovered well. No, the non-con didn't go how you wanted it to go. You probably wanted some more wins, but you, like you say you play guaranteed game, which you got to do at the level you guys are at. Also, you have to raise money for this program. Also, you want to get guys close to home as well. And so, not only getting those four wins that you got, not what you wanted, but how talk about the resolve of your team to get through that, understand what that is. It's part of the nature of the beast of being the Big Sky, but recovering now in your 14-4 in conference play, right in the thick of it for the first place to win the title again.
Well, you know, words can't really explain it. You know, it's been a healthy experience for all of us, but It takes us back to just the development of the mind, the mental approach to the game. We've got tough kids that hang in there through adversity, and that's what champions do, right? They survive adversity, and those are the ones that you would define as winners, and these guys have done that up to this point.
And, Coach, you know, being around the NBA as I am with Atlanta Hawks a lot of time, we talk about load management and preserving young men. So talk about how important is your strength and conditioning program and nutritionists to keep making sure these young men are sleeping right, they're eating right, and they're not working them too hard this time, because you want them to peak right now for March Madness, not peak in January, peak right now. So how have you been about trying to make sure you're preserving your young men down, because this key time is really win or go home now for you guys down in the Big Sky. So what have you guys done to kind of manage your players and make sure they stay healthy for this time of the year right now?
Well, it's been huge. You know, we made some changes a couple of years ago that kind of led to our more durability than we've ever had in our time here. A lot of it is what they eat, you know, where your training table, the meals you provide these young men. Most of them don't cook for themselves, so you're better off providing them, you know, the healthy nourishment that they need. How we travel has played a major role. The rest that we can create for these guys between games. And then just managing the time on the floor. The young guys probably take more reps than the veterans late in the season in practice to prepare for games. And anytime guys have knickknacks, our staff has done a phenomenal job of getting on top of it and doing the things that we need to do to make sure these guys recover in a timely manner.
Now, Coach, I got an interesting fact that I was fed here, that you guys have won 39 of your past 42 home games right now. You're drawing a lot larger crowd than four Pac-12 schools. So, Coach, talk to us about what it's like for a home date at the Wahlberg Arena in the Adams Center there on your campus. What's it like for people in Atlanta who don't know about your home games? Tell us a little bit about the environment there.
Well, it's a special situation. I spent 5 years at Old Dominion, 6 at Cal. And it's an environment that's very difficult to find. You know, you might find 3 or 4 schools on the West Coast that draw the way we do, maybe a few in the Midwest. But the biggest thing is it's a college town that is committed to successful student-athletes, whether that's football, whether that's basketball, and all sports are supported, including our women. I think our women are top 20 in the country in attendance. So it's a place where the student-athlete is supported. And, you know, these guys, they feel special to be on the floor and perform in front of these crowds. And I think that's what's led to the record that we've had.
Now, do you all discuss winning at home a lot in your team? Because I know you guys are 12-12-1 right now. You could end up 14-1 at home this year. So is that something you discuss with your team about? Make sure we take care of our home court first, then worry about the road later. Or you just want to win every game you play?
Well, it's always every game you play, right? You want to win as many games as you possibly can, but to me, the stress needs to be on the road.
Yes.
There's less expectation to win. There's less support. And the more games you steal on the road, the better, the more you increase your chances of competing for championships. The teams that win on the road always are the teams that hang banners. You know, there have been multiple teams in our league that, you know, have had 1 or 2 losses at home in conference and still finish in the bottom half because they can't win on the road. So mental, physical toughness on the road is always going to be important, and that's always been our biggest focus. And then we can let momentum and energy take care of itself when we play in front of our crowd.
And, Coach, overall, the big Sky this year, I mean, even the teams at the bottom of the league has been very tough. I feel like, you know, either Idaho's, those guys have been playing get tough. I mean, even right in the middle, right below you guys, either Eastern Washington and Northern Colorado, it's a tight-knit group there. So the parity in the league this year, to me, our standing is just showing really, really good. So kind of discuss how the league has been this year for you, coaching in the league, from being right there amidst all those teams. You've had to play those guys, all of them, twice for the most part. So talk about the league overall this year, Coach.
Well, you know, I think it's the best non-conference record our conference has had ever. And, you know, you're looking at a lot of teams. A couple teams come in undefeated at home. A couple teams come in over 500 that hadn't in the last 10 years. I think the biggest thing, one, is that the conference did a better job of scheduling. 2, maybe the top 2-3 teams aren't as good as maybe they were the last 2 years, but the bottom 4 or 5 are a lot better than they have been, which means anyone can beat anyone any night. And I think that's what we've kind of seen here down the stretch is, you know, there's quite a few teams here in the race for the top 4 spots, and all of us have lost to teams in the bottom 4.
Well, Coach, definitely looking cheering for you guys this weekend. Coach, hope you do well in Boise. Look forward to seeing you guys play East Washington again. That's something that happens every tournament. You guys play those guys for championship games. So look forward to see that game again between you and Coach Lakers one more time, Coach, in Boise.
I'd love to be in that situation again, no question about it.
Hey, Coach, thank you for your time. Have a great one. Talk to you real soon now.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
Foes, what's up? Time for this week's JC Sports Report here on the Boss Man Show. JC, what's going up with you brothers in Memphis, man?
What?
How's 901 going with you guys? It's March Madness, baby. It's March, man.
it's March Madness, man. All I got to say is thank God for the Grizzlies because Kenny and these Tigers, man, they've been giving us the blues lately, man.
Man, I thought it was going to be a promising thing with Penny Hardaway. What's went wrong with them this year, man? I ain't really paying his close attention to what's going on with the Tigers. What's went wrong with them this year, man?
Man, you know, we thought, you know, honestly, man, you know, we thought it was going to be an overnight success. We thought bringing in James Wiseman and all the recruits that we got, that we had coming in this year, man, you know, we were thinking national championship, man. But, you know, the NCAA, you know, just dropped the news earlier that, you know, that the Tigers are being investigated for further infractions from the Wiseman recruitment and everything that happened with that. So, you know, we already lost Wiseman. He only played 3 games for us this year and everything. He quit the team. And then there could be further penalties, you know, that come down the road from the Tigers deciding to play him those 3 games, man. So it's not looking good at all for the Tigers, man. But thank God for Josh. Thank God for the AC. Memphis Grizzlies right now in the Western Conference, man. Without them, it'd be very bleak as far as basketball-wise here in the city.
Well, the Hawks play the Grizz tonight at the FedEx Forum, but they played on Monday at State Farm Arena. What are your thoughts on seeing the first matchup of Trey v. Jai and how the up-and-coming Hawks and Grizz match up against each other going forward?
Man, so it's going to be something, you know, to look forward to in the future, man. You know, the Hawks are still, you know, a couple pieces away. They got to add around Trae Young. They got a nice young team, man. And like I said, it was a weird start to the game. Because missing their first 11 shots there on the field. And then, you know, second half, the Grizz turned it on and eventually led to that 39-point blowout. Biggest road victory margin ever for the Grizz in franchise history, a 39-point win against the Hawks earlier this week, man. So, like I said, it's going to be fun. Watching the rematch tonight is going to be fun. You know, seeing Trey in the building, FedEx Forum, he's going to be putting up a bunch of shots. Jai's going to be energetic. And you can tell those two guys have already formed a relationship and are, you know, are going to be rivals, but also, you know, friends on and off the court, man. So the league, like LeBron was saying, man, the league is definitely in good hands with Jai and the likes of Trey Young going forward.
What Monday also shocked me was that the Hawks actually wore their white uniforms and the Grizzlies actually wore their blue jerseys. I was shocked to see that because you never see the Grizz really in those Beale Street blue jerseys anymore, and the Hawks don't really wear white anymore at home. I was shocked to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? And I mean, I know it's the trend now, fashion, but I'm an old school guy, boss. You know that. You know I love to see the home team, you know, with their traditional, whatever their home jersey is, and then whatever the traditional road jersey for the business team. I hate when they mix it up with different colors and the road team like the home team. You know, I hate that, man. I'm not even opposed. You can wear your alternate jersey if you're a road team. I'm not opposed to that. But the way the NBA is kind of like letting it just wear whatever you want now, you know, I don't like that at all, man.
Yeah, because usually the Hawks ain't going to be in black, red, or the peach tree. Never the white. I was like, what?
Exactly.
We're wearing white
exactly,
tonight?
Man.
What?
Weird, man. You know, I'm old school, man. And I don't even like having the sponsors on the jersey, man. I don't like that either, man.
Same here. I'm with you, bro. Yeah. I'm with you. Keep it to where it used to be. The alternate road uniform is cool, but we don't need to have 8 options at home we can wear. I didn't know what we're wearing, you know? And oh, yeah. Also, the different courts now, too. Yeah, you have the city edition court, the alternate court, and you have the regular court. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, man, I'm like the old guy, man. Get off my lawn with all that new jerseys and courts and all that. Take it back the way it was, man.
Yes, keep it kosher. And also, bruh, the Miami Heat are rebounding. They've the only team to beat the Bucks twice this year, and they played the meeting in the second round of playoffs. The Miami Heat's the fourth seed. So with Butler, Iguodala on the wing with Jay Crowder, going out the Bucks' perimeter guys are kind of trying to contain Giannis, I see a potential for a matchup problem with the Bucks and the Heat in the playoffs, man, because they beat them twice already this year, once in Miami, once in Milwaukee.
Hey, man, Miami's a problem. Miami is definitely a problem, bro. You talk about Miami Heat team. We knew they were going to be a playoff team, but I don't think nobody saw this Miami Heat team doing what they're doing so far this year. You talk about a team that's 39-22, first in the Southeast Division out there in the Eastern Conference, man. Looking good, like I said, fourth seed right now in the East, man. And, you know, everybody thinking that, you know, it's Milwaukee, you know, Milwaukee or Boston, but Miami, like you said, may have something to say about that with the likes of, you know, a Bam Adebayo, you know, a guy who's an all-star this year from Kentucky, who put the clamp down on Giannis the other night, man, holding him to what, a season low 13 points, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, a guy who's, you know, Bam is just a beast, man. A guy is physically, a guy who can physically, you know, bang and pound with Giannis, you know, on the post there. So, you know, Miami, they may have something to say. I like what they got going on, man. You add a veteran guy like a Jimmy Butler on that team, man. You see the difference already that he's made, man. You know, another guy that was an all-star as well, man. Jimmy Butler, wherever he goes, he brings a fire. He brings an energy. He brings that type of intensity to, you know, a young team, man. And, you know, Jimmy Butler might get a bad rap, but I think, you know what? I got the perfect analogy, boss. Jimmy Butler.
What's
you know
that?
Who Jimmy Butler, who he really is? He is the Pimp C of basketball. He is the Pimp C of the NBA, man. Because he goes tell it like it is, and you know what Pimp C said? Bump how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's going to speak his mind, and hey, it is what it is. You know, if you feel a certain type of way, come see him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is literally the Pimp C of the NBA, man, because the guy, he tells the truth, man. If you soft, you soft. You know, he called a spade, you know. So, Miami going forward, man, I'm definitely looking forward to see what they can do in the playoffs, man. I think they can go pretty deep.
And the Clippers are at full health now. You see what they can do when everybody's healthy. I mean, that's pretty scary. Like, we kind of talked about it last week, but seeing them this week going 3-0 this week, getting healthy now, 2-seed in the Western Conference at full health, they're scary.
Very scary. Very scary, bro. The Clippers, like we talked about, you know, before the season, you know, seeing Kawhi and Paul George get together like that. And, you know, we've seen, like, Paul George, he's not right just yet. We were talking about that the last show, you know. But, hey, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. You know, watching them at full strength. That the pieces they've added, add the Reggie Jackson, add one of the Morris twins to solidify, you know, the bench scoring and that bench presence there. It's going to be, man, the playoffs are going to be this. I'm looking forward probably because we don't know. We really don't know. We don't know who's going to win it. You know what I'm saying? Like in years past, you know, you know, Golden State or Miami, you know, we already knew going into it who's going to win the finals. But this year, man, it's literally wide open, man. You can make an argument for at least 5 to 6 teams winning it all this year. And I think that's the best thing ever for the NBA, to get away from those many pop-up dynasties, you know, with the Miamis and the Golden States that we've had over the last 10-year run or so. This year, the Clippers, they have a stake to the claim. The Lakers have a stake to the claim. Houston is making noise as well with what they're doing with the small ball lineup. It's going to be fun, man. It really is.
Well, bro, Golden State maybe back next year because Wiggins is balling out right now. It went on the rundown, but I wish I'd throw it out there. When you return Klay Thompson, return Steph Curry at full strength, Draymond Green with Wiggins playing the Harrison Barnes role, and the young guys they have with Eric Paschal, Jordan Poole, and those guys, and getting Marquese Chriss going as well. I mean, that could be scary next year again, Golden State. He could be right back in it again.
Yeah, and the draft pick coming up, you know what I'm saying? That could be a top pick, you know, you just never know, man. Golden State can be right back in the thick of things, you know, and that's why, you know, being the Grizzlies, you know, you want to go ahead and try to make the playoffs this year. There's no guarantee, you know, once Golden State gets back in the mix, that the Grizzlies be in the playoffs next year. You know, they're going to have to really you know, pick it up next year. They already have a schedule and, you know, really go out there and ball out next season in order to make the playoffs. But Golden State, like I said, it's going to be right back in the mix, man. You get Steph back. You get Klay back. Like I said, Wiggins is balling out right now.
It's, and they, remember the Iguodala trade exception, $17.6 million. That you can use to acquire talent, a piece of that roster. So,
so hey, the league better watch out, man.
It can all be like kind of like the Jordan Bulls almost with the Rockets.
Right,
they get that,
right.
that 1 year of freedom. Then, oh my
man,
God.
Go ahead, get your jokes in now, because next season, they're back.
Yes. And you know what, bro? You know, it's this March now, NFL fragrancy. You're a Dallas Cowboy fan. I retired my fandom after the events of Jerry Jones' comments on Colin Kaepernick. But how you feel about them handling the Dak and Amari situation? Because, you know, the CBA is signed. They won't have a transition tag. They don't have a franchise or a transition tag. But no CBA, they have both. You can tag Amari and Dak Prescott. You thought they should have went on and paid Dak before the season when they was negotiating with Ezekiel Elliott, but now you let it go. Now the market's shot up on you, and now what if Mahomes is his deal before Dak Prescott, and then you got to pay him like the Mahomes rate. So, like, you feel that Jerry and Steven ran a hard-line bargain, but then, and now it's backfiring in their face on Amari and Dak Prescott.
Man, you know, NFL free agency and the way these caps are structured, man, like, you can make it happen. You know, I don't want to hear, oh, we can't pay this guy, can't pay that. Yes, you can. They'll find a way. They'll find a way to work it out. But at the end of the day, like I said, Dak, specifically to him, I think what's going to end up happening with Dak, it's going to be a short contract. You know what I mean? Like a 2 year. A 3 year deal. It's not going to be like a 5-6 year deal. That's normally how the Cowboys operate with their young players. They like to lock them up for at least 5 years or more. But with Dak, I think it's going to be a very short deal, and that's going to be contingent on what that new salary cap is going to look like in the next couple of years. It's expected to go up. And I think by doing a short term deal, maybe like a 2 year deal at, let's say, what, $33 million. You know what I'm saying? That frees Dak up to be a free agent again. You know, after a couple of seasons, and depending on what the salary cap may look like, depending on how he's performing, you know, the Cowboys can make a better determination then if they want to go ahead and extend him to an even larger, you know, long-term deal. But I think at the end of the day, it's either going to be, like I said, an exclusive franchise tag deal for a year, or they'll do maybe like a 2 year, 3 year deal for Dak around the same numbers that the Russell Wilsons of the world are getting or the Carson Wentz are getting right now, somewhere between that $33-35 million range. But and then once they do sign Dak that money, hey man, God bless him, because all eyes gonna be on him at that point. You know, he has been performing, you know, on the rookie contract, getting $2 million. I think this past season was, you know, a maximum rookie deal. But before that, you know, his first couple of years, he was getting what, $600,000, $800,000, and you know, definitely outperformed that deal. And now he's gonna be making the 33, because it's gonna happen. They're gonna give it to him. But now you're going to be making that $33, $34, $35 million a year, man. The spotlight is going to be even brighter than what it's already been on him, man. You know, it's been super bright, you know, detailing and, you know, what he does, you know, well, what he doesn't do well out there on the field. So I think the deal gets done. It seems like the Amari Cooper deal is going to get done as well. You can't, at this point, you can't afford to lose Amari Cooper. A guy, like I said, out there with Dak, he's made Dak better. Amari, he's got so many little more fire, though. Like, when it's really crunch time, Amari puts up great numbers when, you know, it's not crunch time or it's not a super big game. He puts up big numbers then. But when, you know, it's a big game, big opponent, can Amari put up those same type of numbers? Sure, that same type of energy and same type of fire out there and really, you know, make it happen. But you know what? You know what the player out there does get away from the Cowboys, though, crazy?
Blake Jarwin.
I think Byron Jones.
Well, yeah.
Byron Jones.
Yeah,
Byron Jones. At the end of the day, you know, he's going to get top dollar, but I don't think he's out there. I really don't. I think he's an average, decent corner, but he has no ball skills whatsoever. You're talking about Byron Jones,
he's
in 4 or 5 years.
He's a
Cowboy.
Corner.
He only has maybe what, 2 picks?
He's like Sherman and Charles Tillman.
Exactly.
They're all zone corners.
Right, exactly, man. But even with Tillman and Sherman, they have a knack for creating turnovers, you know, getting picks. Tillman, you know, was great knocking the ball out, you know, with, with the way he's knocking it out and get the turnover, get the fumble. Byron Jones has no ball skills whatsoever. You know, like, he'll swat the ball out the air, yeah. He'll go stride for stride, you know, with the other team's top receiver. But is he going to create turnovers? Is he going to get those big impact plays, those big interceptions that can help turn the ball game around, man? He's not that guy. He never will be that guy. So I think Byron Jones, at the end of the day, he's going to command too much money, and it's going to be a price the Cowboys are not willing to pay.
Last one, we got Tony Romo is going to get $18 million over 10 years from CBS as long as they had the NFL. Your thoughts on Romo getting this record broadcasting deal from CBS for 10 years, $180 million. 17.5 salary, $500 in perks, and an incentive.
God bless them, man. Like, what a country we live in. That, you know, a guy who was on the line, you know, during his playing days. And I think the most Tony Romo, he never really made, like, super, you know, big money. Like, all these guys getting now, all the quarterbacks getting now. Mm-hmm. Romo, you know, he made a nice, decent amount of change, but it wasn't the crazy amount of money that, or guaranteed money that guys get now during his playing days. So, you know, in order to get that type of deal as a broadcaster, I mean, he set the bar, man. You know, the way that he can call the play before it happens and, you know, putting this little Romo magic and spin to it and working with Jim Nance, they have a great, you know, 1-2 punch there going with those guys. So, and even, like, you know, what's the old thing about, you know, you're worth as much as what
somebody will pay you,
right? Exactly. You work whatever somebody, you know, the amount that somebody will pay you. And he does a great job. ESPN, they were coming at him hard. You know, they were going to throw big money at him. CBS did not want to lose him to a competitor like ESPN like that. So they got Tony up and made him, you know, the big buck for the Saints, the receiver, Michael Thomas. You know,
yeah.
He had a gripe thinking that, you know, that no broadcaster should make, you know, the same amount of money as a high paid player. You know, maybe you can't count the man's money. Like, if they want, it's not coming out of your pocket. You know, so what do you care? You got your money. What do you care CBS is paying him? Like, that's, you know, it's whatever, man. So, you know, you always want to stay out the next man's pocket, man. But Romo, like I said, more power to him. He's good at what he does, and CBS feels like he's worth $17, $18 million a year. Then pay the man.
Got that right. You heard it from myself, my man, J.C. Smith, the J.C. Sports Boy on the Boston Man Show. Bruh, great job as always, my man. See you later tonight here in Memphis, our hometown here. Now, we'll do this again next week as well, my brother.
Boss, we're going to turn up tonight, man. Going down after the game. We're going to hit Beale Street up. Man, we're going to hit the club. We're going to tear the club up 3-6 Mafia style tonight, man.
Tear the club up. Tear the club up. You got that right, bro. All right, man.
But yeah, I appreciate you.
No doubt. It's J.C. Smith on the Boss Man Show.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for your company? Or is it a space to help you grow your company? From new HQs to satellite offices, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Tower Weekly Dose of Florida Craziness with my man, Tony Tebow Williams, who's back for week 2 in a row to somebody's chagrin in Wisconsin. Bone, what's up, man? Good talk to you. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, man. That's called going back-to-back. Unlike a certain coach who goes up 2-0 and can't close the deal, I am back.
You got that right, brother. We're going to keep folks waiting for it. Yo, folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. First story, Bone, is this. You got to start off bad. Florida man arrested for cutting off his Johnson after Popeye's closed at the dining room. He couldn't get in there to get him some lemonade.
Yeah, the lemonade? Now, I can understand if it was for the sweet tea. Sweet tea is pretty delicious. But for lemonade, it's not worth, you know, losing your Johnson over. Nah, not at all.
Not at all. I mean, my man, I mean, go to the drive-thru window, maybe. You know? I mean, the dining room's closed, go to the drive-thru. Don't cut your junk off lemonade, my man.
Yes, sir. Just find a way, man. Even if the dining room's closed, find another way, man. It's possible.
Yes. Florida man facing felony charges after allegedly stealing $20 trash can, flood neighbor's home with a water hose, trying to screw his wife in the buttocks with a broomstick.
Damn, that's a lot to get right now, literally. So, well, he first he tried to flood the house?
He stole a trash can with a water hose. Stole a trash can, tried to flood the house. He tried to stick a broomstick up the wife's buttocks, of his neighbor's wife's buttocks.
His neighbor's wife's? Oh, wow, that's real.
That's radical.
Yeah, that's very radical. What did his neighbor's wife or her neighbor do to him in the first place?
They did not say.
I can't imagine any punching fit that kind of crime. Like, you know, I don't know what their deal is. But I can't imagine that was you know, start taking it there that way, that route per se.
Yes. Florida man visiting sick dad in the hospital arrested for randomly sucking toes of patients in the hospital.
So he's like, you know,
Rex Ryan.
Or Rex Ryan, yeah, I was going to say that. He's defendant of Rex Ryan. Maybe he's kinfolk down in Florida. I don't know, but that's just nasty. I mean, that's not only assault, but it's just nasty assault. Ew, man.
You know what's bad about it? He's of our ilk.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's what's bad about it.
he broke the stereotype then. He broke the mold, because that's not really of our thing, apparently. So, so for him to do that, then that's taking a lot.
Yes. Oh, get this. Florida man upset nurses would not allow him to touch their big rumps. Sets beds on fire in the hospital, send them a message.
He wouldn't be allowed to what?
Touch the big old rumps and their scrubs.
So he wanted to touch her.
So he sets fire to the hospital beds to send her a message.
So he tried to go Joker, right? Like,
yes.
Ledger Joker and just set the whole place ablaze, huh?
Yes, for not being able to touch her junk in the trunk and her scrubs.
Yeah, I might go a little borderline here, but those scrubs on certain women, they do look pretty good. But there's no way I'm tearing down a hospital, burning to the ground over the butt cheeks. Sorry, man.
Exactly. Get this. Florida man throws 8 Molotov cocktails at the Department of Children's Services and Family Care building after he was taken away from some, after he got caught watching porn with his kids and getting topped off by a side piece in front of his kids.
That's a lot. That's a lot to unravel and unpack here. So he had porn, right, with his kids next to him?
Yes.
And he was still getting toppy with the kids in the room?
Yes. And the defects took the kids away from him. They went through cocktails at the building.
So that's all kinds of, like, wrong right there, first of all. And that's, like, you know, that's all family services coming into effect. And then he had the audacity to Molotov cocktail the place?
Yes.
So he doubled down hard, huh? He wanted the illegal porn and, you know, in front of the kid and look at sex act in front of the kid. Then he Molotov cocktail a federal building.
Correct.
So he doubled down hard in that one. Pun intended.
Yes. Get this. Drone video shows Florida man harassing non-dead iguanas in the field.
How do you harass iguanas?
Well, he was poking the non-dead ones who were shocked from the cold weather.
So he was poking the undead iguanas, and he had a drone with him to do so?
Yes, but he was very scared when he woke up when the sun came out. He ran away fast.
So he's a weirdo and a punk. So first of all, he messing around with it. He probably thought we're dead iguanas. He probably thought it was cool. See, that's some things where I wonder, like, he was a real life Beavis and Butthead. He probably saw some dead iguanas in the field. Like, oh, this is cool. Look at this. And then when they came to life, then he hightailed it out of there.
Correct.
Yeah, he's a real life Beavis and Butthead.
But get this. Florida man arrested after tackling deacon doing Sunday mass after preaching a homily he didn't like.
So he tackled a preacher?
Yeah, doing Sunday mass.
I guess that's better than stone-cold stunning the preacher, because I remember past stories of pastors and certain preachers getting stone-cold stunned. But I guess a mere tackle, it is better, I guess.
Yeah, it's like maybe a rhino spear, maybe. the spear, the gore, the gore.
What is up with the violence in these churches? I don't get it either, man.
Get this. Florida man tries to burrow into gopher tortoise nest to hide from police. Found throwing, quote, dirt on himself and whacking off to some Pornhub on his Android phone.
He's on the ground and a tortoise nest?
Yes.
And he had his thing out and was whacking off, huh?
Doing some Pornhub on his Android phone.
Let me just say, those tortoises don't mess around, man. And if they see, you know, a Wee Bit Willie hanging out there dangling around, they might think it's bait. They might think it's wormy. So he's a brave man for that.
Man, what you said. Look at here. Florida man arrested after dumping cow manure on coworker who refused to go out on a date with him.
So that's a no, I guess. I mean, that right there, that means that there's never going to be a chance of hell, man. Because if you think that just a mere no came from her, and now you're going to think, I might dump some cow bleach on this woman, and that might get her like me. That right there, folks, is the dumbest man in America.
Man, what you said. Florida woman arrested for visiting McDonald's drive through via horseback.
That's my kind of girl. I'll tell you what, though. The fact that it's finally a Florida woman making the cut tonight, that's good, you know, because I believe in that kind of stuff. The fact that she was on horseback, you know what? It's odd. But, you know, there's no rule, really. There's no rule in the drive through window that you can't go on horseback, right? So it says you can't be barefoot. Or can be on foot. So the fact that she got creative, you know, kudos to her.
Florida man arrested for suplexing car salesman who wouldn't give him a good deal on his trading value for his car.
Again, much like a guy who dumped cow poop on the coworker. What do you think? What kind of deal are you gonna get after you suplex my man through a table like a TLC match?
Open out your trade value of your car.
Yeah, you thought you're getting a bad deal then. You're getting no deal now.
Golly. My state. Oh, goodness. Florida man, the Allison Center, won't allow his life-size Trump cutout in the facility. Says he'll rather die than go to Dallas where he can't have a Trump cutout there with him.
Was that Coach Bud? Was he down in Florida for a little bit? Are there road trips playing heat? That's playing Miami. Yeah, so is that him?
I don't think he was this time.
Because they're playing Miami tonight, right? So that might be him. He's down in South Beach. Wow, no.
Okay.
Sorry, bud.
Oh, man. Here we go. God. A Florida woman hospitalized after trying to turn tricks on top of a roof at her boyfriend's job and getting injured up falling off the roof doing an act of sexual pleasure.
She was turning tricks on the rooftop?
Yes.
And she fell through the ceiling?
Yes. And I see you now.
And as our homeboy's job, too.
Yes. He don't have a job no more, obviously.
So she's arrested, he's fired. Wow.
Correct.
They're gonna be home all day at his deck.
Florida man arrested after swinging axe at pharmacists over not giving him any narcotics.
So he threw an axe.
Pharmacists, correct. and Rite Aid for not giving him narcotics he wants.
So he must have thought that this tactic will work, huh? He's going to throw an act at the pharmacist and think, okay, now I'm going to get the good stuff.
Correct. Man, oh, man. Florida man arrested for trying to get at his son's fourth grade teacher by throwing him on top of the desk during the teacher conferences.
He threw a teacher on the desk?
Try to get him some during the parent-teacher conference with his fourth grade teachers of his son, yes.
Oh, my goodness. And in order to get good grades?
He won him a good grade, obviously.
He got an F all right. Good Lord.
Yes, and we got this final story. Florida middle school student arrested for rock bottoming his classmates doing PE class.
Now, why is that? Was he arrested for his classmate?
Yes, arrested right by my classmate.
And how old is this kid?
13.
You can get arrested for rock bottoming your buddy?
Yes.
Really? Well, that happened in the 80s. When I was in grade school, I was in jail for a long time. We were two-fucking up each other, powerbombing each other, power slamming each other. You know, all good fun. This cat's gonna just got arrested because he rock bottomed his buddy.
Correct. When my father took the girl to jail for nothing, so 66 years old. That was in the news, too. I didn't cover it. The state of Florida's messed up, man.
Yeah, it is. That's good stuff.
The laws here are jacked. So, boom, what is your take on today's Boston Post stories, man?
I always look undead iguanas. That's always fun. But I think my favorite story is low-key Bud in disguise with a Trump cutout. I think that's the best story. I hope NBA TV runs this story tonight after the game. And maybe they hide Bud's face. You know, maybe blur it out. But we know it's you.
That hideous beard he has.
we know it's you. You can't hide.
Hideous beard, man. That hideous beard Bud has, man. Come
you
on.
You didn't go incognito. Boston Bone will find you.
Yes, indeed. If we know you listen to the show every week, sir, look forward to hearing from you this week after we called you out by name.
Well, I'm always taking the high road, but I'm tired of being called a Yankee Doodle Dandy. So, you know what? You and your Trump cutout, have fun tonight.
Exactly. Bogus been taking the high road every week, but he decided today, screw you. It's not new tonight. Month. Screw you. It's March now. You're going to get it, sir.
It's a new month, Jimmy.
You got there right, folks. Boss Report, Boss and Bone. We out. And if you don't know, now
you know. Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. College education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWheel24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.